Hi, this is Jerry Godsey. Welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information about Remnant, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening. Good morning. Try not to be so excited. Please. Good morning. Okay. I thought you were sleeping there for a minute. I wasn't sure. All right. If you got your Bible, turn to Psalm 1. Shouldn't be hard to find. It's right there at the beginning of the book of Psalms, hence the term Psalm 1. Just a little hint for you Bible scholars. Psalm chapter 1. Actually, Psalm doesn't have chapters, it just has psalms. So it's Psalm 1, it's not Psalm chapter 1, it's just Psalm 1. A little trivia for you there, not that any of you really cared. Psalm 1. The title of the message today is Oak Tree or Grass Clippings. What do you want to be, an oak tree or grass clippings? Huh? Got you thinking now, don't I? How many want to be grass clippings? Okay? Probably a bad choice. Hang with me, though. How many want to be an oak tree? Okay. See, this was an either-or question, and some of you are just like, so non-committal. I want to be a pine tree. A palm tree. Don't have palms. Palms have rats in them. Did you know that? Most of the palm trees have rats in them. Yeah, happy. Woo-hoo. Look at Psalm 1. Blessed is the man, or woman, or person. You know, to be politically correct. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let me read that to you from the Message, and I didn't put it on the PowerPoint this week, and I should have. I like the way Eugene Peterson puts stuff in the Message. It's not a good Bible for study, but it's a great one for if you're just reading and really need to see what God's saying. It says, how well God must like you. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. Some of you guys are graduates of Smart Mouth College. I've heard you. I know I am. I have a doctorate from Smart Mouth College. Instead, you thrill to God's Word. You chew on Scripture day and night. I love that. How many of you chew on Scripture? See, here's the thing. And I'm kind of digressing, but I want you to get this. I like it says you chew on Scripture day and night. The Bible is not just like reading the newest Tom Clancy novel or Goosebumps or whatever you're into reading. Okay? The Bible is something that will change your life as you read it. And there have been times, let's be honest, there have been times when I've read the Bible and I've shut the book real quick and I thought, man, I wish I hadn't read that. Because there are things in the Bible that, quite frankly, make me uncomfortable. Especially when it's talking about things I'm doing wrong, which is often. I read this thing in the Bible and think, oh man, now I've got to live up to this. See, you chew on Scripture. You read the Bible and it just kind of, sometimes you got to just kind of chew on it and you got to think about it for a little bit. Let it kind of meditate in your heart. You ever get a steak that's really bad and it's like chewing a rubber tire? You know, and you're just, or gummy bears are like that too. Or those little things, whether you jujubes? You ever get jujubes when you were a kid? Okay? You used to get them at the movies. Jujubes? They're like little things of glue. And you put them in your mouth and your teeth stick together. And I know a kid that put a whole pack of jujubes in his mouth and he died because they couldn't get his jaws open. No, that's not true. But it could have happened. It could have happened. Chew on Scripture day and night like jujubes. You're a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. You're not at all like the wicked, who are mere windblown dust, without defense in court, unfit company for innocent people. God charts the road you take. The road they take is Skid Row. We're going to talk today about success. What is it that makes you successful? Are you an oak tree or are you grass clippings? God, speak to us this morning. Father, I pray that you'll open up every one of our hearts, Father, to hear what you have to say to us. Father, there's so much here for us today if we'll just grab onto it. Because God, a lot of us have bought the lie. We've bought the lie that success is somehow measured by our bank account. And God, that is so not true. Bless us today. Open our hearts. Let us chew on Scripture today. We ask it in your name. Amen. Everybody in the world has the same basic desire. We want to succeed. I don't think anybody's ever said, you know, I really hope that I'm a failure today. I really hope that today I could just mess up everything I touch. Now, that happens to me sometimes, but I don't set out that way. I've never, you know, purposely set out to mess things up, but I have messed things up. I do that on a regular basis because I'm good at that. I'm good at messing things up. I really am. I have a talent for it that not all of you have. I'm good at it. We all want to succeed. We all want somebody to look at us and say, they got it going on. They know what they're about. They're put together. We don't like when somebody looks at us and says, man, that dude's messed up. He's wrong. Problem is, we think that success is money or belongings or all of these things. You know, hey, oh, he's really successful. Look at the car he's driving. Dude can barely afford the payment, but he looks good. Look at the house they live in. Oh, they must be successful. At what? My grandparents. You guys will hear me refer to my grandfather a lot. My grandfather is one of my all-time heroes. Pastored a church up until the day he died. He was 93, 94 years old when he passed away. And was technically still the pastor of the church, even though he couldn't preach anymore. And probably the most rewarding time in my ministry was the last year or two of my grandpa's life when I would drive up every other Sunday and preach in his church. And there would be my grandpa, two rows back, listening to me. And at the end, with tears in his eyes, tell me how proud he was of me. I get teary-eyed when I think about it because he was one of my heroes. But I'll never forget my grandfather. My grandmother went to visit a family that they knew from our church in West Los Angeles. And they lived in the Brentwood area of Beverly Hills. And everybody thinks Beverly Hills is ritzy. Beverly Hills is the suburb. Beverly Hills is the place. Brentwood is the ritzy place. You live in Brentwood, you've moved up in the world. My grandparents went to this house in Brentwood, gated, drove up, you know, just like one of those TV shows you see where the real rich people live. Well, that's where they lived. They were real rich. Drove up and, you know, beautiful ornate doors, and the doors opened, and they had everything but a butler, I think. I think they did have a maid, but they had everything but the, you know, can I help you? You know, that kind of thing, but they didn't have that. Door opens, and there's the lady, and my grandmother walks in. They start talking, and my grandpa goes and talks to the guy, and my grandmother goes off with the woman of the house. And at one point, my grandma said, you have a beautiful home here. And the lady said, I have a beautiful house. It's not a home. So what good is that mansion doing? If you're not happy in it, what good is it? In fact, it's almost a mockery, isn't it? Everybody thinks I've got this all happening. But I don't. When I was a youth pastor, I read a story of this guy and this girl, high school students. He was the captain of the football team, had a 4-year free ride scholarship coming to play football in college. You know, big man on campus, you know, she was one of the cheerleaders and all this stuff. Well, one day after his mom went to work, they went back into the house. They took a garden hose, hooked it to the exhaust pipe of their car, ran the hose up into the passenger compartment of the car and killed themselves. If you were going to pick out two kids on a high school campus that you would not think would kill themselves, it was these two. They were the beautiful people. Everybody wanted to be them. Everybody wanted to be with them, be like them. father read the note that they left behind, and when he came back out, he said, I never knew they had such pain. We look at people and we think they have everything, and they may have nothing. There is more to success than what you amass in life. There's more to success than how you look or how you dress or the things you have or the things that you surround yourself with. Success comes from within, guys. You're not going to find it on the shelf at the supermarket or in Target or in a catalog or on the internet. You're going to find it in your heart. You're going to find it in God. And if you buy the lie that success is what you have and what you are instead of who you are, you're never going to be truly happy. Oh, you may be happy for a while. I'm not going to lie. If I had a Ferrari to drive today, I'd be happy for a while till I had to put gas in it or pay the insurance on it, because I know I couldn't afford the payment. I couldn't afford the insurance, let alone the payment. I probably wouldn't fit in one. But I'd grease myself up and try. Cover me with butter, call me Sally, and put me in the car. I don't care. The Bible has a whole different view of what a successful person is. Biblical success is not measured by possessions. There may be some of that. It's not measured by power, prestige. The real measure of success is much different. So let's talk about what they are. First of all, the successful person does not follow the crowd. You've heard the old saying, misery loves company. Misery loves company. Well, that's true. So does sin. Sin loves company. It's also the basic biblical truth that sin leads to misery. You ever seen a happy sinner? Let me ask you another question. You ever seen a joyful sinner? Because happiness is fleeting. You can be happy one minute and sad the next. Before I came to church today, I'm probably the only pastor in the world that went to a suicide call and then came to preach church. This morning at 8 o'clock, I got a phone call, and I had to go to El Centro to a guy who had killed himself. And had to help process the scene and do all the stuff. That's what I do for the sheriff's office. That's my ugly van out front. Hopefully soon to be replaced with a nice new truck, because I hate that van. Anyway. I lost my train of thought. I have no idea where I was going with that. I was going to tell you something. Whatever. Okay. It was a good story, though. The successful person learns to reject the crowd because he realizes that the crowd is often wrong. I watched the NFL draft a little bit yesterday because I'm a real football nut. Actually, I'm just a nut, but I like football, too. And they had guys who were talented athletes, but because of the crackdown in the NFL... Guy's named Pac-Man Jones, the dude who played for Tennessee. Pac-Man Jones, been in trouble with the law a lot. He's going to sit out this whole season. Because Ed Goodell, the chairman of the NFL, said, you know, we don't really need you this year, Pac-Man. You can go play video games or whatever it is. And how tough are you if they call you Pac-Man? Walk, 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 walk. I mean, that... Anyway. Get a new name, you know, like Galactica or something. You know, something. If you're going to be named after a video game, be named after a tough one, not some, you know, wimpy Pac-Man little yellow thing. Anyway. So these guys, though, kept dropping in the draft. And they were talented athletes, but they kept calling them character guys. Because what happened was they had bad character. They had trouble. They got in trouble with the law. They did things wrong. They tested positive for marijuana. They tested positive for drugs at some point. They got kicked out of school for being stupid. Now understand, in my world, stupid's a choice. When I was doing crime prevention for the sheriff's office, I'd go to schools and I would say stupid in front of third graders, and they're like, oh. He said a bad word. He said the S word. My brother came running in the house one time, and he told Diane June, said, Kevin called me the B word. She said, what's the B word? He said, fat. You know, and for 25 years old, he should have known better. No, I'm just kidding. He was young. I'm going to send him this video, this tape. Anyway, I would say stupid, and they would say, oh. And I would have to explain to them, stupid's a choice. You choose to be stupid. Dumb, you're stuck with. You know, you got kicked in the head by a herd of savage butterflies and got a brain hernia or something, and your brain doesn't work right anymore. You're dumb. God bless you. There's nothing we can do about it. But you choose to be stupid. Let me give you an example. You go to La Hacienda, one of my favorite Mexican restaurants. You go to La Hacienda, the waiter puts the plate down. What's the first thing he says? Hot plate. Right? Hot plate. I don't even know what Spanish is for hot plate, but I think it's probably hot plate. Anyway, hot plate. And what's the first thing we all do? We touch it. And we say, ow, that was hot. He told you it was hot. You touch it anyway. Why? Because you're stupid. Aren't you? Yeah, you're stupid. If I wanted to make sure that everybody in this room touched that wall right there, you know what I would do? I'd put a wet paint sign. Hey, got wet paint. It said wet paint. Why'd you touch it? Because you're stupid. When you were a little kid, your mom said, don't touch the stove. It's on. It's hot. What'd you do? Because you're stupid. You choose to be stupid. And a lot of people choose to be stupid. So I don't want to call these guys that dropped in the NFL draft yesterday, I don't want to call them character guys. I want to call them stupid guys. They chose to follow the crowd even though they knew it was wrong. And you can't tell me they don't know what's wrong. I didn't know it was wrong to take that guy's money. Yes, you did. Or you're really stupid. No, you've crossed the line into dumb. And you're stuck with that. God bless you. How many times have you chosen to do something you knew was wrong because the crowd said it was good? Because you didn't want to stick out. Because you didn't want to be one of the ones who why doesn't he do that? Well, he's not like us. Hey, let me let you in on this, folks. If you're a Christian, you're not going to be like them. We have a forensic doctor that comes down and does all the autopsies for us. And we were talking about something, I've seen this guy for almost a year now at autopsies, and all of a sudden he clued in on the fact that I'm a minister. I don't know why it took him so long to figure it out. We've talked about it in his room, but all of a sudden now it dawns on him, you're a minister? Yes, I am. And he says, oh, that explains it. I said, what does that mean? He's like, am I weird or something? And he said, no, but you're not like the rest of these guys. I don't talk like them. I don't act like them. There's something different. I didn't think that was a bad thing. I thought that was a good thing, especially if you saw the guys I hung out with there. It's probably a good thing I'm not like them. So let's talk about it. First of all, he doesn't listen to what the crowd says. Blessed is the man, verse 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Walt Disney, when he was still alive, back before they froze just his head, I don't know if they did that or not. If he had an idea for something, he would pitch it to 10 people. And if they were all against it, he would immediately go do it. Because he knew that the crowd wasn't always right. See, we got this thing we call conventional wisdom. Well, conventional wisdom says, anytime you hear the words conventional wisdom, what you need to take that phrase is and say, the crowd says this. Conventional wisdom says this is going on. Conventional wisdom says this is the way to act. What does the crowd say to us? The crowd says, hey, if you're not happy, go do what you want to do. If you're pregnant, get an abortion. If you want to do something and it feels good to you, go do it. What do you care what anybody else says? That's easy. The crowd says that. The crowd says your happiness comes first. Everybody else can go pound sand. That's conventional wisdom. That's what the crowd says. That's not what God says. God says, I come first, and I'll make you happy. You can't be happy following the crowd. It's just not going to happen. Second thing, he doesn't do what the crowd does. So they don't stand in the way of sinners. Most of us will take the easy way out. Come on, let's be honest. Most of us, if there's an easy way to do something, we're going to do it. It may not always be the right way, but we'll do it because it's easy. You know what I found? I'm old now. We had this discussion earlier. She's not looking at me. We had the discussion about how I'm old. I need to shave my mustache off so I can look young. Trust me, that won't do it. All right? Here's what I've learned. The easy way to do thing is almost never the right way to do it. There's an easy way to do stuff. I've gotten cars. Told you before, I mess with cars. I've gotten cars where people took the easy way to fix something, and then I had to go back and fix it the right way. Because the easy way falls apart. the easy way causes you to run into walls because the car won't stop. My 49, I got a 1949 Dodge. I'm going to have to go in and fix the brakes because here's what some yokel did that had this car before me. The 1949 Dodges had a real tendency to leak at the brake cylinders on the wheel itself. So this guy, it started leaking at the brake cylinder. So instead of fixing it, he took the hose off, he stuck a screw in the hose, and just left it that way. So in other words, there's no brake fluid making that brake stop the car. So, I mean, and eventually, I guess, if you just keep going, eventually you don't have them, and you have to stop like Fred Flintstone, you know, with the foot out the door or something. Robert Frost wrote a poem, and it's a famous one. It says, two roads diverge in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Next thing about the successful person, he doesn't go where the crowd goes. Verse 1 says, he doesn't sit in the seat of mockers. Colorado Senator Milliken was speaking at a televised congressional hearing on taxes of nightclubs. One of the clubs mentioned in the bill was the 21 Club. All through this press conference, he called it the 22 Club or the 23 Club. He never called it by the right name. It was on television. And when it was all over with, one of his aides came and said, Senator Milliken, you look dumb. Because it was the 21 Club. Now, you've been there a bunch of times. And all through it, you kept calling it by the right name. And he looked at his aide and he said, you know what? Sometimes it's not good for everybody to know you're real handy with this stuff. He didn't want anybody to know that he knew what the 21 Club was, so he purposely messed up the name. Why? Because he didn't want to look like somebody who went where the crowd went. Here's this my club that has a problem. He didn't want anybody to know that he goes there, so he purposely messes up the name. There's an old saying that says, he who runs fastest runs alone. Now, I've never been in that crowd. The he who runs fastest crowd. What are you laughing about? I never have been the he who runs fastest. I've always been he who runs, and sometimes he who runs slowest runs alone too. Back at the very end, until they get lapped by all the fast ones again. And then you wave to him, hi, how you doing? Again. He who runs fastest runs alone. One of the coolest things if you're in a race is to look in your rearview mirror, and I have to equate it to cars again because I'm not racing anything that takes leg power. One of the coolest things in your race is when you look in your rearview mirror and see everybody behind you. If you're going to run the right race, you're going to run God's race, you're going to do it alone sometimes. There are going to be times when you're the only person in the room that doesn't laugh at a joke. There are times when you're going to be the only person in the room who doesn't follow the crowd. Are you ready for that? That's what being a Christian is all about. And you know what I found in my life? There have been a couple of people that poked fun at me. Been a couple of people that were just jerks. But you know what? More than anything else, I've gained respect from people. In fact, the way it works at the sheriff's office now, I was in a thing the other day, and a guy said something, and he used a curse word, and he looked at me and said, sorry, Reverend. I have never at the sheriff's office called somebody down for their language. Never. I've never said, oh, how dare you talk that way in front of me? Don't you know I'm a pastor? Well, don't you know, bless God, that you're not supposed to talk that way in front. Never had to do that. Never. Never would. It's not my job to convict him of sin. You know what I found out? God convicts him of sin while I'm just standing there. If you let your light shine, the darkness around it notices. I don't have to be all holier than thou. I just have to be holy. Second thing about successful person, he has a one-track mind. Verse 2 said, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I love this quote from Winston Churchill. Look what it says. It says, a fanatic is someone who can't change his mind and won't change the subject. A fanatic is someone who can't change his mind and won't change the subject. What are you fanatic about? What are you excited about? Who here has a hobby they enjoy a lot? Boy, are you a bunch of boring people. Man. Nothing. I just go home, I sit, and I watch SpongeBob. What do you do? Play guitar. You enjoy that? How often do you play the guitar? Every night. How long? Like an hour or two. You end up talking about guitar stuff to people? Sometimes? You get a bunch of guitarists around the room? No? You know, there's like a room full of guitarists all sitting around. Well, I found that if you play the D chord this way, that I'm a frustrated guitarist. I probably own like, what, 5 or 6, 10 guitars. Never played one of them. That's right. I preach so hard, I bring it down the roof, baby. Actually, that looks like, I won't tell you what it looks like, but we got a lot of dogs, and it looks like that sometimes. Anyway, got a one-track mind. People that are focused on one specific thing. I got a buddy who's a Charger fan. That's all he talks about. And I mean, that's all he talks about. Oh, the Charger. It's not even football season. I know that tomorrow at work, I'm going to hear about the draft. Did you hear the Chargers drafted? What do I care? I mean, this year I switched allegiance to the Chargers. And the Bears. Always been the Bears. And I mean, I'm a football fan. I got a guy who is in Austin, Texas, a friend of mine, who sends me emails, and he critiqued everybody's draft pick yesterday. There were 32 first-round draft picks. He critiqued all of them. Dude, you got way too much time on your hands. He's a fanatic about this stuff. He won't talk about anything else. Don't you think maybe we ought to be that way about God? Don't you think that maybe... Now, I'm not talking about being obnoxious. Todd was telling me the story, actually, of a young lady that from here in Imperial Valley that worked at a store, and she was so obnoxious in sharing her faith that when she got fired for sharing her faith, the people around there cheered when she left. I don't think she helped God a whole lot. If you're so obnoxious about sharing your faith, when I lived in Imperial, I still live in Imperial, but I lived in this little apartment, got a knock on my door one morning about 8:30. Yeah, I opened the door. This dude, this is what he said. Honest to goodness, this is the way it starts. I opened the door. You're going to go to hell, man. Really? Yeah, man, you're going to hell. Okay. Yeah, unless you know Jesus, man, you're going to hell. All right. See, the problem with that, I'm the youth pastor at the church right across the highway here. I was youth pastor at Faith Assembly. You could see the church. You could throw a rock and hit the church from my house if you had a good arm. And I said, I'm the youth pastor at the church over there. He said, well, yeah, but if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. Kind of think that being a youth pastor means I'm a little bit familiar with Jesus. And finally I said, you know, you don't know me or anything. What are you doing? Well, you're going to hell. All right, man. I close the door. He goes to my next-door neighbor. My next-door neighbor, not a Christian. Probably is going to hell, okay? But not a very patient guy either. Open the door. You're going to hell, man. Yeah, so are you. Boom, he shuts the door on the guy. These are the guys that pulled a truck up in front of Central Union High School. I was youth pastor at the time. And got on the back of a flatbed truck with loudspeakers and a microphone and started calling women, young ladies coming out of the school, calling them harlots. And calling the guys whoremongers and telling them, you're all going to hell and God's going to judge you. And you know what they did? They got all of the youth pastors kicked off the campus. I used to be able to walk on campus and have lunch with my kids, never had a problem. All the youth pastors had to go because of these dumb bunnies. And you know what they said? We're being persecuted for Jesus. No, you're not. You're being persecuted for being stupid. You're being persecuted for doing dumb things and trying to say that God told you to do it. Show me one place in the Bible where Jesus stood up at a bunch of sinners and yelled at them, called them sinners. Go ahead. I'll give you $5,000 if you can tell me. You won't. In fact, Jesus didn't talk about hell to anybody that wasn't a Christian. He saved that for the people who thought they were religious. They're the ones he talked to hell about. You know what he talked to sinners about? He talked to sinners about love. He talked to sinners about heaven and the grace of God. So have a one-track mind, but do it in the right way. Have a one-track mind that says, I'm going to tell people how much God loves them. I'm going to tell people how much God wants to help out their daily life. That's how you win people. Have a one-track mind. I love this story. Cigar smoker bought several hundred expensive cigars. And he bought out an insurance policy protecting him against fire. Then he smoked them. And he turned in a claim to the insurance company because he said the cigars were destroyed by fire. And they were. So the insurance company said, we're not paying you for that. So he took him to court. And he won. Because the judge said, you insured those cigars against fire. In order for him to smoke them, they were set on fire. So, that's it. So you know what they did? They handed him a check. The minute he took the check, they had him arrested for arson. That's a true story. See? There are people who think that they can kind of get around God. People who think they can defy God's law and still be successful somehow. That's not true. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that's written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. Meditate on God's law. Remember, we talked in chapter 1 of Psalm. Chew on God's word. Chew on scripture. Let it come around you. How are you going to know what God's word says if you don't read it? Let me tell you, I'll make you a thing right now. If you don't have a Bible that you can read, and I mean one that you can read in your language, one like, not with all the these and thous and those and loses and stuff in them, but we'll get you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, we'll get you one. Okay? We'll work on that. So you let me or Jeremiah know that you need a Bible and we'll get you one. We'll have you one here next week. Guarantee it. Because you need to get into God's Word. You need to get into something you can read. Because that's how you grow strong. Philippians 4, 8, and 9 says, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Have a one-track mind. Think about the things of God. When you go through, you go tomorrow and you get a good grade on a test and somebody says, man, you're lucky. What's your answer? No, I wasn't lucky. God's good to me. God's good to me. I got the safe open the other day. We have this big safe. I hate this safe. It's hard to open. And I opened it on the first try the other day. And I was so happy with myself. And Mr. Garcia, the guy who works with me, he says, hey, you did a good job. I said, no, God comforts the feeble-minded. That's how I got that open. You know what? When good things happen in my life, I tell people all the time, that's God's goodness to me. That's not my goodness, because I don't have any. Third thing, I love this. He has a weather-resistant faith. A weather-resistant faith. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. I ask you at the very outset, are you an oak tree or grass clippings? When the winds blow, I don't know if you've ever had, have you ever been in wind? Yeah, you've lived in Pearl Valley the last couple of weeks, you have. We have a roof on our kennel where our dogs are outside. It blew the roof of our kennel. Shredded it. It was this tarp thing. Shredded it. So now I have to put a new roof on it. But the winds come and they blow and you see the trees and the whole tree is just kind of pushed over sideways. Well, if you've just mowed your lawn and you got the clumps of grass there in your lawn because you're too lazy to rake. When the wind blows, what happens? Whoosh. All that grass just blows all over the neighborhood. And your neighbor across the street's all mad because it's all over their car. We're all going to face bad weather. In our lives, we're going to face bad weather. I go to suicides where people have decided that it's better to kill themselves than live through the bad weather they're living through. And let me tell you something, guys. That's never the answer. Especially teenagers seem to think that somehow if they're gone, everything will be better for everyone else. And that is so not the truth. You leave a hole of suffering behind when you take your own life. Guarantee it. I watched the faces of the family as they gathered around this morning waiting to go back into the house. And none of them were saying, man, I'm glad he's gone. They all were weeping for their loss. So don't think that you're going to, that's some magic potion that's going to make that work. It doesn't. We're all going to face tough times, every one of us. And there are people in this room right now. You may be going through the darkest time of your life. And those thoughts start coming to your mind. Man, I'm just going to give up. That's it. I'm done. Days when we go through just like a spiritual drought. You ever pray and it feels like your prayers just hit the ceiling and that's it? That's as far as it goes. You don't feel like you're really doing anything. I go through those times. Where you pray and you're like, man, I should have saved my breath to blow my soup. There was no, I don't, because God's here, but God hears us. God knows. There are times when we look at the things around us and we think, there's no way I'm getting out of this. I'm toast. I'm done. What you need to know is that God is there. No matter how hot the heat, no matter how hard the wind blows, no matter how high the floodwaters, God's good. Fairfax, Virginia. In the 70s, the firemen of Fairfax County, Virginia got brand new fire helmets. You know the cool helmets the fire guys wear? They're pretty cool. They're heavy, though. I had to wear one at a scene a couple of weeks ago, and they're heavy. Well, they got them these brand new helmets, and they were shiny and looked real sharp. They only had one problem. When you got them near heat, they melted. Okay, now I don't know if anybody clued off to the manufacturer of the fire guys, or the fire helmets, but firemen have a tendency to get near heat. It gets kind of hot inside those fires. And these guys, literally, the helmets were melting on their heads. Now, I would have liked to have seen that. Because I think firemen basically are nuts anyway. When I was in Heber, my sheriff's office was inside there. And I told you, I'm a reserve deputy as well. So I've given the fire guys all kinds of business because I said, you guys are crazy. See, because the basic thing in everybody's mind is when something's on fire, you run away from it. These guys run into it. And they love this stuff. They're crazy. Fire guys are crazy. They're nuts. And they said, well, wait a second, though. If there's a crime going on and somebody's shooting a gun, normal idea says, run. And he says, you guys will run in there with your gun. I said, yeah, we got a gun. If you're shooting at me, I can shoot you and you won't shoot at me anymore. You shoot a fire with water and it says, okay. And it still blazes. It takes a while. I'll shoot you. That pretty well end that. You don't know you're aware of that. Fire guys are crazy and they run into these fires. You know why? Because they have decided they're going to save whoever, wherever they can. Is it still falling? Everybody keeps looking up. See, the good thing about faith in God is that no matter how hot the heat gets, it doesn't melt around you. At the end of World War II, when they were searching all of the rubble and they're going through looking for snipers, the Allied forces came through and they got down into a basement. And there underneath the Star of David, the symbol of Judaism, they found this. And look what it says. I believe in the sun even when it doesn't shine. I believe in love even when it's not shown. I believe in God even when he does not speak. This is somebody who wrote this, a Jew in World War II in Germany, where Jews were being persecuted and killed because of being Jewish. And that's what they wrote. I believe in the sun even when it doesn't shine. I believe in love even when it's not shown. I believe in God even when he does not speak. Let me tell you something. That is not faith that's easy. That's faith that has looked at all the bad things that can happen and says, I believe in God no matter what. That's the faith we got to have. That's weather-resistant faith. That's faith that says, even when the wind blows, I know God's good. Even when the sun shines, I know God's good. Even when things are going to pieces all around me, I know God is good. We've got to get to this point, guys, because I've seen a lot of people decide to be Christians and then decide not to be Christians when it got ugly around them. That's not God. Jeremiah 17:8 says, he shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its root by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it's not anxious, and it doesn't cease to bear fruit. Put your faith in God. He's going to help you endure any storm, any drought that life brings your way. And look how David closes verse 6. It says, "For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." What do you want to be in your life? You want to be an oak tree? You want to be grass clippings? Tell me who's more successful. Alexander the Great, who conquered the world while still a young man? Or the Apostle Paul, who died alone in prison? Donald Trump, successful billionaire, bad hairdo. Donald, just shave it off, babe. He's combing over hair off other people's heads. I mean, just shave it off, man. Who's more successful, Donald Trump with all of his billions, or Mother Teresa, who died penniless? Who's more successful? In fact, it's interesting that the same week, I think, or within 2 weeks, I think it was, Mother Teresa died. Mother Teresa, who led orphanages in India, some of the poorest sections of India. Amazing, amazing woman. Strength of character. I cannot begin to imagine what it took for her to keep doing what she did. At the same time, within 2 weeks of each other, Princess Diana died. Oh, Princess Diana died. It's a national tragedy. What a saint this woman was. I'm sorry. She was sleeping with some guy that wasn't her husband. Off doing God knows what. Meanwhile, Mother Teresa died. Which was a tragedy. See, we have this tendency to... The world looks at people like Princess Diana with all of her money, and she was a classy woman and all of these things. Oh, it's a tragedy she died. Oh, meanwhile, oh yeah, that lady in India, that nun died. Oh yeah, whatever her name was. So miss the point. I'll tell you in God's economy who's successful. I'll tell you in God's economy who made a difference in lives. Because when Princess Diana died, wherever she went, she went. When Mother Teresa died, she walked through the gates of heaven, and there had to be hundreds, if not thousands, of people who walked up to her and said, "I'm a Christian today. I'm in heaven today because of you." Now let's talk about success. Now let's talk about the person who makes a difference. Let me tell you something, guys. You've got to be more than just the person who's the most successful person on your campus, at your job, in your neighborhood. You've got to be the person that everybody looks to when they want to see what God is like. That's when you'll know you're successful. That's when you'll know there's something special about you. Because when people look at you, they don't see you, they see God. They see something about you that points them to God. One of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten was from a guy at the sheriff's office who said, "You know what, Jerry, when I see you, all I can think about is Jesus." And the guy's not a Christian. "When I see you, all I can think about is Jesus." I almost cried. I almost cried right there. Man, you give me $100 million, you give me $1 million, I wouldn't feel as good as I did right that moment. That's what we're looking for, guys. When they see us, all they can think about is Jesus. What do you want to be? An oak tree? It takes a long time for an oak tree to be an oak tree. Starts out as a little acorn. Acorn? Grows up from there. It's this little tiny skinny little sapling. But it gets these mighty roots, and then it's this huge tree, and all of these things come from it. Or you can be grass clippings. Here today, gone tomorrow. Let me tell you something. Donald Trump will die, and 10 years later, 20 years later, there'll be people who remember who he is. But they won't say, "Oh, he was a classy guy. He's some rich dude. Had a television show and bad hair." That's all they'll remember. I want to be more than that. Let's pray. God, you're so good to us. Father, I want more than anything else to be influenced by the word, your word, God, not by the world. God, I want more than anything else to be influenced by what you say, not what the world says. Father, I pray that you'll touch every person in this room. Make us aware of you this week, Father. Make us who you want us to be. You know what? Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. I want to tell you, first of all, I know that some of you are going through some rough stuff right now. Okay? Your faith is going to see you through this. And that's where the answer is going to come from. It's not going to come from anything that you may try and drum up. It's going to come from God. So if you've got an issue right now, whatever it is, you just need to say, Lord, I just give this to you. And I know that's easy to say and hard to do. But you got to give that to God. If you're here this morning and you're going through a spiritual dry spell, man, you know that there's a God. You're just not sure he's listening to you. Take a moment right now. Say, you know what? Even though when the sun doesn't shine, I still believe. Even when love doesn't show, I still believe in it. And I believe in God even when he doesn't speak. You may be here this morning and you've never accepted Christ. You don't, you know, this whole talk about being different and being changed by God, that's totally new to you. And if that's you this morning, we can fix that. There's a whole life ahead of you that is just waiting for you. There's a whole host of things that God has in store for you, and there's so much for you right now. All you have to do is grab it. So I tell you what, let's pray a prayer together today. And I'm not big on these prayers, but I want you to pray from your heart. Okay, so what am I going to do? I'm going to tell you ahead of time what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. First of all, I'm going to pray for those who have issues that and you're going to ask God just to help you with those issues. And we're going to pray for all of us that will grow in God. And then we're going to pray that if you need God, if you need to establish a relationship today, we're going to take care of that. Okay? All right, so I want you to lift your voices and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I love you. Come on now, say it. Lord, I give you my life. I want you to come in and take charge. Forgive me my sins. Let me be the person you want me to be. God, I give you my struggles. I give you my pain. I give you my hurt. Take it away, God. Make me the person I'm supposed to be. Make me new in you. Make me a Christian, God. Now just tell him thanks. Whatever you've asked him for, just tell him thanks. Come on. In your own words, just tell him thanks. God, we thank you. You're so good to us, God, and we don't deserve it. Thank you, Jesus. But you love us anyway. You're so good to us, God, and we just want to thank you. Father, I know that there are lives who are changed this morning, Father, as they prayed their prayer, maybe for the first time. God, bless us, keep us, touch us, move in us, Father. Make us oak trees, God, not grass that's just going to be blown away. Bless us, keep us now. We ask it in your name.